as we turn to God's word, let's pray. Father, we ask that you work by your Spirit and seal the truths of your word on our hearts. Jesus' name. Amen. Jennifer Lawrence, the actress, was in a bar with a group of friends, and she saw Harrison Ford dancing. She thought, we're both in the same profession, I'll go over and say hi. But Harrison Ford totally ignored her, didn't even seem to know who she was. So she came back over to the group of friends, crestfallen. No one ever did that to her. Everyone knew who she was, except apparently Harrison Ford. Then one of the friends, someone called Jack Whitehall, said he'd try. The people with him were saying, don't try, if he ignored Jennifer, how much worse will he be with you? How much more will he humiliate you? You're a nobody. But Jack started getting out of his seat and walking over, when Harrison Ford noticed, and shouted, hey Jack! Because what his friends did not realise is that Jack and Harrison had screened a show together. Jennifer knew about Harrison Ford. Jack actually knew him personally. And in the passage today, we see Peter talking about us as the people of God, knowing him personally, and the difference that that makes in our lives. The letter starts with Peter referring to himself as both a servant and an apostle. Verse 1 starts, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Here, Peter's emphasizing not just that he's an apostle, but that he's a servant or slave of Jesus. The disciple that did not want Jesus to go to the cross and was concerned about the rewards the 12 disciples would get is emphasizing that he's sent to serve, not to lord it over others, but to serve, that he's been given authority to serve. That's what Christian leadership's about, serving others. That's what being a home missionary, being an elder in the church is about. It's about service. It's about enabling others to grow in Christ, building up the church. It is how knowing Jesus and the mercy he provides has changed Peter, who'd always been an outspoken fisherman who gets on with life, but now he's living for others, especially for those who know Jesus and his mercy. And it's how it should change each one of our lives, and especially those who are elders who are in Christian service. That we'd seek to serve those who know Jesus and his mercy. And the people Peter is writing to are exactly those. Verse 1 continues, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Peter's writing to those who believe in, who trust Jesus and all he's done. It's a people who aren't dependent on themselves or their own works, but who rely on what Jesus has done to save them and bring them into relationship with God. A people who have received from God a faith through the righteousness of Jesus. We live in a culture that says you need to earn what you get, that we need to work hard to earn what we need. Being in the country and having had years of drought, We know that sometimes what we do is not enough. Farmers can't guarantee a profit during drought. Although last year was, and this year will hopefully be much better years. The years before were tough, however hard one worked. However, with God relying on our own deeds, what we do for salvation gets us nowhere, except ultimately, if we pigheadedly continue to do so, it provides a one-way ticket to hell. Because we can't be good enough. We all go our own way at times, being centered around ourselves and our needs rather than the God who created us. However, Jesus was in very nature God, and as such died to take away our sin, to provide us with mercy. It's the mercy I discovered at university, and it began to change my life from being centered around me to having some of it centered around the God that I got to know and what he did for me. As I discovered how precious the faith God provided through Jesus' righteousness was. And it's the same precious faith that Peter has and shares with the intended recipients of the letter. Because it changed his life, it changed theirs, and should continue to changing it. What Peter's saying is faith in God, relationship with God, is precious. And we, as his people, should hold it as such, because it will change our lives, each one of us. It will change your life and bring you joy now, looking forward to the eternal joy when we're with Jesus. In fact, Peter emphasizes the precious nature of our faith by which we're given the promises of God, so we can participate in the eternal kingdom. Verse 4, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The precious nature of our faith is we escape the corruption of the world caused by desires that take us away from God and participate in God's kingdom. We share in his divine nature. And how do we benefit from the promises that God gives us from our precious faith? It's through knowledge of God. Verse 2 reads, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, knowledge of God's not just knowing facts about him, knowing of him, as Jennifer Lawrence knew of Harrison Ford, as we'd know of football players, of politicians. We'd know the facts, but rarely would we know them in person. But knowing God is actually about knowing him in person. And knowing him in person means we know we can trust him with our lives. If we know him, we know the mercy that he's freely offered us, the grace that comes from the cross. And we know that he'll keep the promises he's made for us. Yes, knowing these promises is important. That's why we gather to encourage one another and hear God's word. So we hear and remember his promises. That's why we should read God's word. So we know our God and all that he'll give us. But all of the benefit of this comes from knowing God personally, from spending time with him. Yet, how does this reflect in our lives? Do we value spending time getting to know God, gathering with his people, or on our own, praying and reading the Bible? Do we value such times? Because it's from that such times we can, as Peter puts it, participate in the divine nature. We can take on some of the very nature of God. That's what eternal life is about. That's what being a Christian's about. Just as Jesus is in very nature God and showed his character in human form, we as Christians should grow in the divine nature, grow in having and expressing God's character. If we think of growing up, we learn and improve at many things, from writing to maths and English to sport. Even when people begin their time as professionals or working on the farms, most of them still have to improve and learn to grow in what they're good at. The top pick in the AFL draft finally gets to debut today after 3 months of waiting, of him improving his game and fitness. He was the best in his year. But he still had to work at it. The Western Bulldogs supporters are excited, but they're expecting plenty more improvement over the years as his talent shines through. But it needs work to grow it and to enable it to come to fulfillment. And as Christians, we're to grow in God's character, to become more like God. Verse 5 reads, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." We're told to make every effort to add these things, to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Make every effort an ongoing commitment to growing in our character, to participating in God's nature, the divine nature, better. And some of these, let's be honest, aren't comfortable. And perhaps we're not so good at. For me, self-control when I'm on my own. What do I watch on the web, for example? Am I good at getting on with things? For you, it may be perseverance, continuing and committing to God, putting God first, or godliness, not a term that's commonly used. But we're told here to grow in being like God. It's a message from 1 Peter, quoting Leviticus, where he says, where God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." It's a statement that's true throughout the New Testament. We're supposed to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Or brotherly kindness, focusing on our relationships with other Christians. We're to love, support, and care for each other. There's a particular bond between Christians. We're family, God's family. And as such, we're to love, support, and care for each other. Or love, how we're supposed to behave to everyone, not just Christians, but everyone in society. But how do we grow in them? Firstly, it's growth. It's increasing over time. We don't go from where we are to being absolutely godly in nature overnight. In fact, we don't arrive until we go to be with Jesus. But as of now, we need to seek to grow, to take steps forward. It's a journey. And the critical thing is not how fast we're going, but the direction we're heading. That we're taking steps in that direction to get our lives more and more in line with the values of God's kingdom. Secondly, one way to do this is pick one or two of these that you struggle with and see if you can make small improvements, pray about it, speak to God on it, and work at it. Priest growing can take years. It doesn't happen overnight. Similarly, we need to keep on growing in the character of God as they demonstrate that our faith's real and that we're responding to the mercy shown in Jesus. As Peter continues in verse 8, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." They demonstrate that we know our Lord and live out of it. They are what make us effective in representing the kingdom of God. But Peter emphasizes we need to be growing in them. It's not standing still. It's not we only need to do so much. It's possessing them in greater and greater amounts. It's going further and further along the journey to the kingdom of heaven. It's not how far we are along the journey, but it's the direction that we're headed that counts. Which should encourage all of us. It's not where we're at, but that we're committed to growing in godliness, in these characteristics. Peter does not give an option of having them and not growing in them. He assumes if we know Jesus, we'll grow in the divine nature. The only other option he gives is forgetting the mercy of God, all God's done for us in verse 9. It reads, "But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." Now, we all can think of times when others make unwise decisions, and we think they're short-sighted or blind. It's something people accuse politicians of. One particularly funny incident was one honour Donald Trump received as president. He had a creature named after him. You might think that's great. The creature was a small, blind creature that tries to keep its head below the sand. And apparently this was because of Trump's attitude to climate change and wanting to do nothing about it. The people who named the creature considered him as burying his head in the sand. They were accusing him of being short-sighted and blind. But surely much greater than any of the incidents we can think about, much more short-sighted and blind is someone who forgets what Jesus has done for them. Who forgets the mercy of God, the cleansing of our sins. That person forgets the salvation of God and is walking a path that leads to destruction. We can't be complacent. We owe our lives, our eternal salvation, to the mercy of God through Jesus. we really know this, will want to respond to it, to know Jesus better and live for him more, and will continue responding, representing his character and his kingdom. Otherwise, we risk whatever we claim to do for the kingdom, like those who Jesus tells of, who cast out demons in his name. And in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "I'll tell them, I never knew you." If we know him, we'll want to respond to his love, to his mercy, as we'll be looking forward to our welcome to the eternal kingdom. As Peter says in verse 10, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." It's living for God, growing in the divine nature, in godliness, that assures us of our place in the eternal kingdom of our Lord, that will be welcomed in richly to it, that we're going to a place that shares the same values we've lived for. So being there, being a part of the kingdom's a delight for us. So let's seek, as individuals, as a congregation, to grow in godliness. Let's pray. Father, help us to grow in you, to represent you better by growing in your love, by growing in self-control, perseverance, goodness, by growing in brotherly kindness, in godliness. Just grow those things in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.